Okay, welcome everyone. I hope everyone had a good Pesach. One of the things we say at the end of Hallel, it says, Isur Chag Babotiv Makarno Mizbeach, that we're supposed to take the Kedusha that we had during Pesach, whatever Chag that you have just gone through, and hold on to its Kedusha and take it with you throughout the whole year. And that it should charge you up and motivate you to become holier, and to daven better and be a better person. And the Ramban writes that one of the reasons why we don't say on Motzoi Yontif by Havdalah, we don't use Besomim, only on Motzoi Shabbos. On Motzoi Shabbos, we have a Neshama Yisera, so when we lose that Neshama Yisera, we are depressed and sad. So we need the Besomim to smell to make us feel better. But on Yontif, the Ramban says, we have a Neshama Yisera as well, but that Neshama Yisera never leaves you. So there's no need to have the summon. So that fits well within what we just said, is that the Kedusha that we have and we had with our families during Pesach, we should hold on to the Mizbeach, and the Neshama Yiseras that we had on Yontif, we should keep with us to make us better people and better B'nai Torah, that we can come closer to Hashem. So in light of that, I wanted to speak about a mitzvah that we have now, and beautiful mitzvah that we have towards Pesach as we go towards Shavuos, and we'll go through the mitzvah and its underpinnings, and perhaps at the end we'll talk about a little bit of the mussar that the mitzvah conveys to us. That mitzvah is the mitzvah of counting the Omer. There is a mitzvah to count the Omer. We're all familiar with that. And it's a machlokus as to whether the mitzvah nowadays is biblical or rabbinic. The Rambam writes that the mitzvah to count the Omer nowadays is biblical, because the Rambam says counting the Omer is a separate mitzvah, not connected at all with the Korban HaOmer. The Omer was a Korban. It was a barley offering that was offered on the second day of Pesach. And we don't have the Beis HaMikdash anymore, unfortunately. And therefore, it's very sad, and we're very sad we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But the Rambam says the mitzvah of counting the Omer is separate from the mitzvah of the Korban HaOmer. Just happens to be that the mitzvah begins at the time we offer the Omer. So since we offer the Omer on the second day of Pesach, that's when we start counting the Omer, right, the second Seder. But they are not conceptually linked to one another. And therefore, the Rambam says, even though we don't have the Beis HaMikdash and we do not have the Omer nowadays, the mitzvah of counting the Omer is distinct and independent, and therefore it remains Bizman HaZeh D'Oraisa, biblical. Even though the Rambam Rav Zhulti writes that he discusses the dinim of this mitzvah in Hilchos Tminim Musafim, which is where he discusses the halachas of Karbanos, so on a geographical way, the Rambam kind of put the dinim in that category, but he doesn't hold that they're linked conceptually. So therefore, the Rambam says that nowadays we have a mitzvah still to count the Omer Midyaraisa. That's the Rambam's approach. And it could be that this is a machlokus in the Gemara as well. The Gemara says, according to one man, the Omar, we count the days and we count the weeks. And according to another opinion, we only count the days and not the weeks, because the mitzvah to count nowadays is only commemorating the Beis HaMikdash. So it could be the opinion that holds that it's biblical holds you got to count the days and the weeks. The opinion that says counting the Omer is rabbinic says all you have to do is count the days. So that this concept might be a machlokus in the Gemara itself. So what emerges is the Rambam holds that counting the Omer nowadays is a mitzvah midyaraisa, and it's disconnected with the Korban. Now the Ramban argues on this, and the Ramban says, according to most poskim, the Ramban has a list. We all know that men and women are obligated with all negative commandments equally. Every 365 negative commandments, men and women are equally obligated except for three. There are two negative commandments for men that they can't cut payas on their heads or on their face that don't apply to women. And women that are benos kohanim can go to a cemetery. Kohanim cannot, male kohanim. So those three lavin apply to men and not women. But every other lav, 362 lavin, apply equally to men and women. When it comes to mitzvahs essay, we know that women are obligated in mitzvahs essay she'ein hazman groma, anything that's not connected with time. However, When it comes to mitzvahs esher shebizman grama, women are exempt from. And that's what the Gemara says based on the Mishnah. There might be different reasons given for that, but that's the klal. So the Ramban writes as follows. The Ramban writes, Nachmanides in his Chedushim and Kedushim, he makes a list of mitzvahs that are mitzvahs esher shelo bizman grama. And he writes the following abbreviation. He writes, Samech Hei Ayin. So most Gedol Achram say Samech Hei Ayin means Sfiris HaOmer. So according to this, the Ramban says that the counting number is a mitzvah esher she'ein hazman grama. And therefore, he says, women are obligated. So what emerges is as follows, that we have to be masbir, we have to explain very well why the Ramban claims that women are obligated. Because the Rambam writes that women are exempt from counting the Omer, because he says it's a mitzvah esher bizman grama. If you'd have asked me, it's between Pesach and Shavuos. Of course it's dependent on the calendar. So the Rambam writes women are exempt. But the Ramban claims not that way. The Ramban says that women are obligated, according to most Gedol Achron. There's a minority of opinion that Samech Ayin means Seder Avoda, which means davening, that women are obligated to say karbonos in the morning. But most Gedol Achronim say the Ramban meant Sfiris Omer. So why would the Ramban say that counting the Omer is a non-time-bounded mitzvah? So one of the great Gedol Achronim named Rabbi Yechezkel Bornstein, he wrote a sefer called the Divrei Yechezkel. He writes the following svara. He says, in order to be called a mitzvah esher shebizman grama, what do you need? You need the mitzvah to be directly linked to time. But since the Omer is the generating element of the mitzvah of counting the Omer, meaning counting the Omer flows from the Korban Omer. Since it flows from the Korban Omer, it is not directly linked to time. It's directly linked to the Korban. And therefore, since it's a mitzvah that's not directly linked to time, says the Ramban, it's called the mitzvah esey shelo bizman grama. It's kind of counterintuitive, but it makes sense when you think about it. Because if you want to directly call it zman grama, it's got to be directly linked to time. It's kind of like the time is arbitrary to the mitzvah. But if the mitzvah is generated by some other element, here namely, the counting of the Omer is generated by the Korban Omer, therefore it's labeled as a mitzvah esher shelo bizman grama. And therefore women are obligated, says the Ramban. Now, everyone cop that? Everyone got that svar? It's a very beautiful svar. So what is a result of this hesber of the Ramban? The Ramban must hold that the mitzvah of counting the Omer nowadays has to be rabbinic. Because since the generating element of the counting of the Omer is the Korban Omer, and since we do not have the Beis HaMikdash nowadays, and therefore we have no Korban Omer, therefore the mitzvah of counting the Omer has been downgraded from being no longer D'oraisa to now being only rabbinic, to be Midrabanan. And therefore, the Ramban holds women are obligated, and number two, he holds that the mitzvah nowadays is rabbinic. However, the Rambam, on the other hand, will hold that the mitzvah nowadays of counting the Omer is biblical, because conceptually it's disconnected from the Korban Omer. And also the Rambam will say that since conceptually it is disconnected from the Korban Omer, even though unfortunately we don't have the Beis HaMikdash nowadays, but will not impact upon whether the mitzvah of counting the Omer becomes the Rabbanan, because it's not conceptually linked to the Korban Omer. So therefore, basically what emerges is that the Rambam and the Ramban are arguing on two different nekudas so that we can begin this year. Whether counting the Omer nowadays is the Araisa or the Rabbanan. And number two, are women obligated in the midst of counting the Omer? Okay? Now, there will emerge a tremendous nafkamina. Most shuls will daven mincha right before shkia and sunset, and daven ma'arvit afterwards, and they might count the Omer, right after Maariv, which is before Seisa Kochavim, which is before it's dark mamish. So Tosos and Menachos says, well, according to the Ramban and me, who holds it's rabbinic, no problem. We don't have to wait and count till it's mamish dark. As long as it's after sunset, it's fine. So if you're the shul that does that, you shouldn't make a protest about it. You should never make a protest ever. But, you know, a person shouldn't say they're doing something wrong at all. However, in for example, in our shul, we're machmer for the Rambam Shita, and we announce after Maariv that everyone should remember to count after Tseisa Kochavim. Because if you hold like the Rambam that it is D'oraisa, you want to make sure that it's Laila Mamish. Because we have a general rule in Halacha that anything that is rabbinic and you're in doubt, you can be lenient. Suffik D'Rabbana L'Kulam. Anything that is biblical in its root that is D'oraisa, then Suffik D'oraisa L'Chumra. So there's a great application. Listen, do I have to wait till Tseisa Kochavim? You know, a lot of people sometimes might forget, and it happens. If I'm in shul, let me count. Well, if you hold Bizman Ezed, it's the Rabbanon, so just count right now. If you hold that as D'oraisa, then you got to wait and do one of those reminders in your clock, or whatever, your smartphones, whatever it is, or have my kids tell me you can have a email sent to you that not to forget doing the Omer. So that's a very important ramification in this machlokus between the Ramban and the Rambam. Tosfos happens to be on the Ramban side. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So I once had a big machlokus with a big Talmid Chacham, what the Shulchan Aruch says about this. And the Shulchan Aruch says, medaktikin, people who are meticulous, wait until it's dark, mamish, to count. So what do you see from the Shulchan Aruch? So this big Talmid Chacham said, you see that the Mechaber holds like the Rambam, that you have to wait till it's dark, mamish. I said, no, on the contrary. And another Talmid Chacham agreed with me. He says, medaktikin, meticulous people should wait till, but the standard regular Yid, Mikra Adin, what is the halacha? Seems to be the halacha is that it is rabbinic. And therefore you could count right after sunset. So that's the simplest, I think, reading of the Shulchan Aruch. But nonetheless, we have this amazing machloikis that we must know. It could be, and I want to just note, it could be the Rambam might agree with that very, very interesting svara, that sharp svara that we said, that if a mitzvah generates another mitzvah, it's not directly linked to time, could be the Rambam might agree to that svara. But in this scenario, he doesn't agree. Because the mitzvah of counting the Omer, he claims, is disconnected with the Korban Omer. He might agree in svara to that concept. But here he disagrees because the construct, he argues with the Ramban. Because the mitzvah of counting the Omer, according to the Rambam, is disconnected with the Korban Omer. Even though he puts it in Hilchos Tuminim Musafim, but that's just because categorically, geographically, he wanted to put it there. Doesn't mean conceptually it's dependent on that. So I think the two other ramifications that emerge from this very, very crucial machlokes. Many, many years ago, they printed a YU Haggadah. I don't know if you ever saw it. It's a red Haggadah and white on the cover, and they say that the minig of the Rav would be that when he would count, he would say, Hayom Yom, whatever it is, let's make sure we don't trip ourselves up, because I haven't davened Maariv yet. Let's say Hayom Yom, five La'omer, and then he would say, Hayom Yom, Ba'omer. He would repeat the line twice, first saying La'omer, and then repeat it and say Ba'omer. What's the significance of La'omer or Ba'omer? So it could be the significance might be exactly this Nakuda. When you say La'omer, you're trying to accentuate that the mitzvah of counting the Omer is generated by the Omer, by the Korban Omer. People go through their whole lives, they don't know what the Omer is. We already said what the Omer is. It's a Korban Omer made of barley. The Shtei Alechem is the Korban on Shavuos, which is made of wheat, which God willing we'll get to at the end of this year. But Omer is the Korban. So when you say La Omer, you're trying to accentuate and emphasize that my counting the Omer was generated from the Korban Omer, which is offered on the second day. And therefore, that's why I would say La Omer. Whereas if you say Ba Omer, you're just saying at the same time, the same day that the Korban Omer was offered, that's when initiating it started the counting of the Omer. But they're really not conceptually linked. It just happened to be they started at the same day. So if you say like that, if a woman counts, which Lashon is more appropriate? La'omer, exactly. Because that was the svara of the Ramban. Because the korban omer generates the mitzvah of the korban, of the counting the omer, that's why it's called the mitzvah seshe shelo bizman groma. And therefore, so it's called the mitzvah seshe shelo bizman groma, women are obligated. There's nothing wrong if a woman also says ba'omer. But based on this shlumdus that we're saying, it's much more appropriate that a woman would say la'omer. I do have to note to you, you have to be honest, actually, one of my Talmidim pointed this out many, many years ago, Rabbi Ilan Soniker. He's a Rav in West Hempstead. He's a Rebbe in MTA. He pointed out to me, he said, Rebbe, the based on our interpretation of the Mechaber, that Maker Adin, the mitzvah nowadays is rabbinic, then what? Which one should the Mechaber end up saying? La'omer or Ba'omer? If he holds that it's rabbinic, according to my interpretation. He should say la omer to the omer, and since we don't have the omer nowadays, it's rabbinic. But the Mechaber actually says ba omer, so that's a little bit of a difficulty that we have. But it's not such a big problem. In other words, if you say la omer, you're saying that the mitzvah of counting omer is generated by the korban omer. Since nowadays we don't have a bais hamikdash, so it's rabbinic. So if the Mechaber is interpreting, like I said, medaktikin, then only special people wait till it's Laila Mamash. But you can really count right away. That means the Mechaber holds it through Rabbanan. So he should have said La Omer, but he says Ba Omer. Okay, it's a little bit of a difficulty. That's one ramification. Actually, we've said two ramifications. One, do you have to wait till Laila Mamash? Another one, what's better to say, La Omer or Ba Omer? And a third nafkamin, which comes out very nicely, everyone says Arachaman. What is the Harachaman after you count? It's a tefillah to Hashem that Hashem should quickly restore the Beis HaMikdash, and our counting will be enhanced. According to Tosfos, that's very appropriate. And who says it? Tosfos. Tosfos Shita and Ramban hold nowadays it's Rabbana, Mid Rabbana in the midst of counting. So it's very appropriate that we should make this tefillah to Hashem that it should be enhanced and become better and become upgraded and become D'oraisa. According to the Ram, you'll never find this Harachaman. Because according to the Ram, the mitzvah nowadays is midiraisa anyway. Okay, it might be nice when we have the Beis HaMikdash, we'll see the Korban Omer, but according to the Ram, the Harachaman is not fit at all to be said. You don't have to say the Harachaman at all. There's one other machlokes I want to just mention before we go by. It's an interesting machlokes about mitzvah Shavan Groma, and that is, are women obligated in Kiddush Levana? Are women obligated to say Kiddush Levana? So the Magen Avraham says women are exempt because it's a mitzvah seshe shebizman groma. It's between day 4 of the month and day 15. So there is a marshal, Reb Shlomo Kluger, on the bottom of the page of Shulchan Aruch, who argues. And he claims women are. The meaning is that women do not say Kiddush Levana. But the Chachma Shlomo, who is one of the great Gedolei Poskim, argues, says women are obligated. Why? He says a very, very sharp svar. He says like this. He says, what is the example of a mitzvah seshe shebizman groma? Let's say a classic example is a lulav. A lulav is taken one day a year, midiraisa, on the 15th of Tishrei. Meaning the Torah says arbitrarily that you can really shake a lulav any day of the year. The Torah arbitrarily says, Hashem says you only shake it on one day in Tishrei, the 15th. So that's a zman groma. But the zman is considered to be extrinsic to the mitzvah. Theoretically, you can shake a lulav any day of the year. So if time is extrinsic to the mitzvah, that's a mitzvah eshe shebizman groma. But time, when it comes to the Kiddush Levana, when are you supposed to say Kiddush Levana? When the moon is in a defamed shape, when it's a pagam. So time is very integral to that. Between day 4 and day 15 of the month, that's when the moon is not in its complete manner. So if it's not in its complete manner, that's when you say Kiddush Levana. So Zman is not extrinsic. Zman is very integral and intrinsic to the mitzvah. And anytime time is intrinsic and integral, that's also called mitzvah seshe shelo bizman groma. Again, shelo bizman groma. Zman groma is when time is arbitrary. Like lulav. What I mean by arbitrary is you can shake a lulav any day of the year. Whereas when it comes to Zman, when it comes to the Kiddush Levana, it's very integral to set up the directives of when the mitzvah is. And therefore, when Zman plays an integral role, again, it's Shalom B'Zman Groma. Again, also might be counterintuitive. And therefore, he argues that women are taka obligated in Kiddush Levana. Like I said, we hold like the Magen Avraham, that women are exempt, and the minig is that they don't say it. But if you put together The Ramban and Reb Shlomo Kluger, what emerges is as follows. To classify something as a mitzvah eshe shebizman grama, there are two qualifications. What are they? Number one, that time must be directly linked to the mitzvah. Time must be directly linked to the mitzvah, whereas the Korban Omer in the Ramban's view is not, because the mitzvah of counting the Omer is generated by the Korban Omer. That's number one. Zman must be directly linked to the mitzvah. And number two, time must be extrinsic, must be, in a sense, arbitrary. If you put together the Ramban and the Marshal, there are two qualifications to become a mitzvah eshman grama. Number one, the mitzvah's got to be directly linked to time. There cannot be an intermediate category, like a korban omer generating it. And number two, the zman must be arbitrary. It must be extrinsic, not integral to the mitzvah. So that's an important thing to note. Okay, so this is the first mahalach I wanted to point out that we have regarding the mitzvah of korban omer, and it gives us a very nice perspective, whether it's rabbinic or biblical, how it relates to the Korban Omer, how we're supposed to say it, when we're supposed to say it, do we have the harachaman, and how seriously we treat la and ba, it's not just stam, you know, how it was written in the Siddur. So I want to take this now a step further regarding this very beautiful mitzvah that we have of counting the Omer. Tosfos in Megillah quotes a Bahag. The Bahag was the Baal Halachas Gedolos, who was the early Rishon. And this is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch Halacha Lamaisa. Everyone's familiar with it. That if you count at night, we count with a bracha. If you forget to count at night, you can save yourself, in essence, and count in the daytime without a bracha, but that allows you to count Vayter nights, the rest of the nights, with a bracha. That's the Bahag's famous Shita, and that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Very interesting. Question is, though, what it's based on. You know, you have to try to understand everything in Torah, but certainly something that the Shulchan Aruch holds, we have to try to understand. We can't just, you know, that's the Ikar of Torah Shabbal Peh, to understand it. So, the Gisa Bo Yom Belayla means the Higayon, the logic behind it. So, what's the Svara behind this Bahag? So the Mishnah Berurah, the Holy Chafetz Chaim writes the following. He says that it's a double doubt. It's a sfeik sfeika. What does that mean? It means as follows. It means that the mitzvah of counting is either at night or even in the daytime. That's the first doubt. Why would it only be at night? Because the psukim and the Gemara's Masbir, Menachos, the psukim connect harvesting the omer. They used to cut the grain of the barley at night. It says in Chumash. They used to have torches. They had no lights on the street. They had torches, the Mishnayos say. And they would cut the omer, they would cut the barley, and they would ready it. And the Torah connects counting with harvesting. So since the harvesting is done at night, the counting should be done at night as well. Now the question is it only at night or even in the day? That's one doubt. Even on the possibility it's only at night and I missed it, maybe each halachic day is a separate halachic unit. And even though I missed one halachic day, I can count the other day. Therefore, that's how the Bahag Shita emerges. Let's say it again. He has a double doubt. Is the mitzvah only at night or even in the day? And even if it's only at night, and I missed it at night, well, the next night, which is a new halachic day, is separate and distinct, and I can count that. So if you put the two things together, that's the Bahag Shita. Count at night with a bracha. If you missed it at night, count in the daytime without a bracha, because you might not be fulfilling a mitzvah, might be a bracha levatala. But on the tzad, and the possibility of mitzvah, I saved myself. And even if what? Even if I didn't save myself, it could be the next halachic day is a new day, and it doesn't impact the fact that I didn't count yesterday on today. So you put it all together, the Mishnah Berurah says that's the Bahag Shita. Okay? That's what the Bahag Shita is based on. So, everyone got that, Mishnah Berurah? That's the double doubt. Mishnah Berurah is Masber the Bahag. So the Rav Zatzal was very bothered by this Mishnah Berurah. So usually when you have a double doubt, the opinion, the Bahag would say it himself. He doesn't say that. Usually when you have a Sveik Sveika, you have a like Reb Moshe, or you have the Rav, or Reb Avadya, when they have to paskin on a Shiloh, a lot of different issues come up with a Shiloh. So maybe on one issue you hold like one Shita, on the other issue I hold like another Shita, so it's like, I could come up with a Sveik Sveika, on this possibility I hold like this Shita, on this issue I hold like the other issue. So even if it's not like that in this, I can rely on this other Shita. So to be Masbir though, one Shita, one opinion, based on a Sveik Sveika, without that opinion elucidating is very, very difficult. And therefore, the Rav said he thought that Mr. Bruce Pshat was quite difficult, and he embarked upon a whole new Pshat. I want to share that Pshat of the Rav with you on the myths of Sfiris Omer. Very powerful Pshat. So he said the following. He said, you know what? I want to say a different Pshat. So he said that you could really view the mitzvah counting Omer one of two ways. First way is that there's one big mitzvah, and there are 49 legs in the mitzvah. That's one possibility of you counting the Omer. But the Rav didn't think that was the Pshat. The second Pshat, which I'm going to tell you now, Bez Hashem, is what he thought was the Pshat. And he said like this. He said, each halachic day is a separate mitzvah to count. But the Torah requires you to link all 49 days to make a bridge, to create a series of continuity, where you have Ritzifus, consecutive series of digits that lead you from Pesach to Shavuos, to create a bridge, a lot of bridges. There's the GW, there's the Golden Gate, and then there's the Sfiris Omer bridge. And that's what the Rav Zatzal was saying here. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do, to create this momentum, that you go from Pesach to Shavuos, that we're supposed to build ourselves up to become better people. Talmid Rebbe Kiva died during this time. They didn't show special kavod to each other. And the Baal HaMor says, we don't say a Shechianu on the mitzvah of Sfiris Omer. You know why? Because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. We have a Nihugi Avelis during this time. We have to strengthen ourselves. Benam Lamakam, Benam L'Chaveiro. Do you know the Korban Omer was made of barley? The Korban Shtei Lechem was made of wheat. Barley is known as a food for animals, the Gemara says. Wheat is food for man, human beings. We were spiritual animals at Pesach. We were on the 49th level of Tumah. Every day, it's not a coincidence, there's 49 days in the Omer. Every day we're supposed to eradicate a Shar of Tumah, a gated Tumah, to ready ourselves to become spiritual human beings, to accept the Torah Kedosha. And that's highlighted by the Shtei Lechem, which is made of wheat, Michael Adam. So this is the bridge that we need. Each halachic day is a distinct mitzvah, but the Torah says you got to link them together. You need the continuity. And that's the chiddush the Rav wanted to say. So he wanted to prove this. So let's see how he proved it. So he quoted three Maramakimus. The first one, we don't paskin like, but like I said, we have to know all the shitas. The Torah quotes are of Sad Yagon. In Simon Tuf Pei Test, that's a Simon in Shulchan Aruch about Sfiris Omer. Rav Sad Yagon writes, and this happens a lot of times, if people don't count in Shul on the second night, a lot of Haggadahs don't have Sfira and they miss counting the first night. Believe it or not. Rav Sad Yagon says, you miss counting the first night, you're finished. If you miss any other night, you're okay. You could count the rest of the days, maybe even with a bracha. The only night that's Li'kuv is the first night, says Rav Sad Yagon. Now the Rav said, if it's all one big mitzvah, and there are 49 legs to the mitzvah, then who cares if it's the first leg or the 30th leg, or the 9th leg? They all should be makiv. They're all important. The Rav said that's not the pshat. The pshat is like this, that the Torah requires you to link all the 49 mitzvahs together. And you need to create a consecutive series of digits. You need this bridge. Now, you don't need to have a PhD in math to say that without the number one, you cannot create a series of digits. There's nothing started without the one. So the most critical number, even if you miss something in the middle, you still got the bridge, you have some continuity. Without one, you have nothing. So Rav Sad Yagon held that to an extreme. And therefore he said, the only one that's ma'akev, that prevents you from fulfilling the mitzvah, is the first night. That we don't pass like. That's the first Mara Malkum the Rav quoted. Then he quoted a second Marmukum, which we do paskin, like a lot of people don't notice. The Ber Halacha quotes from Rav Haigo. If you miss, let's say you miss day 8. When you count 9, you're supposed to say Etmol was 8 and Hayom is 9. And even if you miss 7, you miss 7, yesterday, 2 days ago was 7, yesterday was 8, now I'm counting 9. You want to take it to the next, that might be a bit of a chumrah. But at least you have to do the day before if you missed it. That's what Rav Haigon says, that's what we paskin. Bir Halacha quotes. A lot of people don't know that. Now the Rav said, why is that? If it's all one big mitzvah and there's 49 legs, you miss that leg, you're done. But if you say the pshat that the Rav wanted to build up, if you didn't count 8, 9 is meaningless. You got to give it a context. How do you give it a context? You say, yesterday was 8, and now I'm counting 9. Otherwise, 9 is in midair. Because again, it's the Ritzifus. You want to link these what? All these mitzvahs together. So that taka we paskin. And then the Rav said, there's a third mucker, which we don't paskin like, again, but it's important to note in Svara. The Sefer HaChinuch HaMitzvah Shin Vav quotes from the Morenu Shebedorenu. I guess he was the Gadol HaDor. He says an amazing thing. He says if someone missed counting a night, since the rest of Klal Yisrael was counting, you can count Vayter, maybe even with a bracha. The Gemara says in Menachos, Usfartim Lachem, Shetei Svira L'chol Echad Ve'Echad, each person should count individually. What does it make a difference that the rest of Klal Yisrael was counting? That should allow me now to count maybe even with a bracha. I missed that night. So the Rav said exactly, this is the pshat. If it's all one big mitzvah and 49 legs, you're finished. But if you say the kernel, the chiddush, the novelty of the mitzvah is the linkage, maybe the fact that Klal Yisrael was counting, I can use that and say that gave me a context, and now I can count Vayter with the bracha maybe. Granted, we don't paskin like that, but it's an application of this svara that you want continuity, you want linkage. And even if I missed a link, well, everyone else is doing it, so maybe I can use that as my context and my landscape that I can count Vayter with a bracha. So that's what the Rav wanted to be mechadish. So hashtadosus lahachi, now that we've arrived at this point, the Rav said you can plug it in now. What the Bahag means. Because as the Rav would say many times in Brisker terminology, there's svei dinim. The word svei means two in Yiddish. There's two tracks. There's the track of the kiyum mitzvah. When do I get points in Shemayim from Hashem for counting? When I do it at night. Because harvesting the grain, the barley, was at night. And counting is connected with harvesting. So when I count at night, I get points from Hashem. I get 25 points. But when I count in the daytime, I don't get 1 point. But what do I accomplish? I have the continuity. I have the Ritzifus. So if I miss the count in the night of the ninth, but I count the day of the ninth, I might not have received any points at Shemayim. But I have a Ritzifus going. I have a bridge being created. They tell, you know, the Rav's father, Moshe Soloveitchik, lived in the Heights. So I remember someone telling us once, he met someone that visited Moshe Soloveitchik. He could see from his apartment building, them building the GW. This is in the 30s. So connecting the Rav's father with what the bridge. They actually were, when they were building the GW in the 30s, they could look out of Moshe Soloveitchik's apartment, they saw them building it. So the Rav said that's exactly the vort of the Bahag. What does the Bahag mean? You count at night, you get a mitzvah. You count in the daytime, you don't get a mitzvah. But what does it accomplish? You have the Maisa Sphere, he called it. There's a Kima Mitzvah, one track. Number two track is a Maisa Sphere. You have a continuity that was created. You articulated a count, you have verbalized that. And therefore, you can count Vayter with a bracha. That is the pshat in the Bahag. Not like the Mishnah Berurah, that it's based on a double doubt. The Bahag never said it was based on a double doubt. Very novel to say that. Rather, the Rav said, no, the Bahag held that the mitzvah to count was only at night. What you accomplish by counting the daytime is creating the continuity, the linkage, and now the series of consecutive digits that can count Vayta with a bracha. It's a completely different shot. The major difference between the Mishabru's shot and the Rav's shot is a person, man or woman, that doesn't count at night on the night, that counts in the daytime, according to the Mishabru, maybe you did get a mitzvah. It's a sfeik-sfeik, according to the Bach. According to the Rav, no, you got no mitzvah at all. But it allows you to count Vayta because you have a Ritzifus. If you say like this, the Rav took it a step further and he said you could be Masbar Rashi. There's a sefer called the Machzor Vitri. It's a Machzor written by one of the Rishonim that quotes the Shita of Rashi. They used to have a following minig in Rashi's town. You know, if you take a perfect 12-hour day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., in Hilchos Tefillah, we have the Shita of the Chachamim that you daven Minchat 5:45, and after at 6:01 you'll daven Ma'ariv. Okay. There was a Tana named Reb Yehuda, Stam Reb Yehuda and Shasas, Reb Yehuda Bar Eloi. Reb Yehuda Bar Eloi held that there's something called Plag Mincha, that the times of davening end at 4:45 p.m. How do you get that? Mincha Gedola is from 12:30 to 3:30. Mincha Ketan is from 3:30 to 6. How many hours is 3:30 to 6? 2.5 hours. What's half of 2.5 hours? Hour 15. So 3:30 plus an hour 15 is 4:45 p.m. So they didn't want people on the streets. There was a lot of anti-Semitism. So they would daven Ma'ariv Mincha at 4:30. They would hold like Reb Yehuda, and they would daven Ma'ariv at 4:46. While it was still light out. Because they didn't want the men on the streets. At the end of Ma'ariv, Rashi would announce, we're going to count now without a bracha. But I want you to remember at home, after it says come, count again with a bracha. So you'll make a condition. What I'm doing now will not count if I remember later. I'm going to count later with a bracha. If I don't remember at night, and I don't remember the whole next day, let this count. That's what Rashi used to do in his town. So the Rashba writes, I don't understand this, Minig. Mimonafshach means catch 22. I mean, look at yourself in the mirror. If you hold 4:46 is nighttime, then count with a bracha. And if you hold it's not, then what are you accomplishing now counting without a bracha? Very strong question on Rashi, strong kasha. So the Rav Zatzal said beautifully that I could be answered that kasha for Rashi. It goes like this. Let's say the fellow counts without a bracha after Ma'ariv, and he forgets the whole night and the whole next day. Can he count Vayta with a bracha? Yes. Did he get a mitzvah? No, but he has a Maisa Sfira. Because the Bahag counting in the daytime is for Rashi counting at Plag. What you accomplish, says Rashi, is you had a Maisa Sfira. Now you'll ask me, how does that Maisa Sfira relate to the next day? That window of 4:45 to 6, someone tell me in Halacha, where is that window connected to the next day? From Plag on. What's the earliest time you can start Shabbos? Can you start Shabbos at 2 in the afternoon this Friday? No, you can only start from Plag on. So you see that window of time is connected with the next day. So if you count it without a bracha, if I forgot at night and forgot the next day, maybe I don't get any points in Shemayim, but it created a linkage, a continuity that can count for that next halachic day. And you'll tell me, where is it connected? Kabbalah Shabbos is the Raya. You can't start Shabbos at 2 in the afternoon. Only start from Plag onward, says the Shulchan Aruch. So that's how Rashi answered the Kasha of Rashba. What Rashi was suggesting is, do the Maisa Sphere now. Grant you can't say a bracha. But if you forgot to count at night and the whole next day, you didn't get a mitzvah. I feel bad for you, but you can still count with a bracha. Because you have what we call this Maisa Sphere, this continuity. And therefore, that answers the Kasha on the Rashba. Now, this could come up in a situation, God forbid, let's say someone is an Onan during Sfirah. Someone loses one of his seven relatives. We know an Onan is exempt from Mitzvah Seseh. Why is an Onan, until the burial, if you lose one of someone loses one of his or her seven relatives, a father, mother, son or daughter, God forbid, brother, sister, a spouse, You're exempt from mitzvahs essay and even mitzvahs essay rabbinic mitzvahs. You can't eat ham, you can't steal, lavin you have to do. But mitzvahs essay you're exempt from, either because of kovod ames, either because you're involved in the funeral arrangements, osku mitzvah potem in a mitzvah, or either because simply you can't get it together emotionally. You're too torrid, there's tirda. So the halacha exempts you from mitzvahs. So what's a guy do, or what does a woman do during sfira? The whole night and day, let's say they didn't have the levaya. So once you do the levaya, you're no longer an onen or an onenis. You're an avel or an avela. So you're chayv in mitzvahs. But you miss the night and day. What do? Can no longer count with a bracha if you missed everything. You know what the Rav would say? Verbalize the count. You can't say a bracha, but at least verbalize it. If you verbalize it, you articulated it, then you had a maisa sphere. Then it would be great. And you could count after the levaya with a bracha. You didn't miss anything. But I didn't get a mitzvah. You're right, you didn't get a mitzvah during that time period because you were exempt. But at least I articulated the linkage, the count, that I have a series of digits. The Minchas Chinuch has a discussion. Very interesting. Minchas Chinuch, you know, wrote a running commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch. He was a great, great goon, Rav Babad. He was very poor. He didn't have enough money for paper. He would write everything in abbreviations. About 30 years ago, they came out with a scientific edition of Minchas Chinuch where they're masber all the abbreviations. But before that, you used to have to break your teeth to figure out just the abbreviations. And he was a goon olam. He wrote a running commentary on the Sefer HaChinuch. The Rav was very fond of the Minchas Chinuch. In fact, before the Rav started giving shiurim in YU, after his father died in 1941, he would come like once a week from Boston, because the Rav came over around 33. So for those 8 years, he'd come like once a week to YU to give a chabura. I don't know if it was once a week, maybe once every few weeks, and he would give chaburas on the Minchas Chinuch. So the Minchas Chinuch has an interesting suffix. Let's say a boy becomes bar mitzvah during sfira. Let's say day 30. So for 29 days, he was a katan. He's counting, with a bracha. He's a good boy. Could say a bas mitzvah girl, too. A good girl, she's counting, and then they become a gedola or a gadol. They become bar bas mitzvah, and what happens? He says, you know what? I think maybe, he brings up as a possibility, maybe they can no longer say a bracha. Because now that they're a gadol or a gedola, they weren't obligated the first 29 days. So if they weren't obligated, maybe they shouldn't say a bracha. He brings up such a possibility. We welcome him or her into mitzvahs. We say, oh, maybe you can't say a bracha. He concludes it's fine in the end. But he brings up such a possibility. Maybe they should not be able to say a bracha. So the Rav thought that was dead wrong. Why is that dead wrong? Because for the first 29 days, that boy or girl, at least they're articulating, they're counting, they have the bridge that they're creating. So why can't they go weiter and say it with a bracha? Of course they should be able to. So the Rav disagreed. Even though the Minchas Chinuch in the end says, of course they say a bracha. But even that possibility that he's pilpling with, he thought that svara was wrong of the Minchas Chinuch. Because you've created that linkage. And if that linkage is there, you can count and can say a bracha without a problem. So we have that case of Onain. We have that case of Katan or Ketana. Onain or Onenis, Katan or Ketana. There might be one other case that here you could differentiate. What about a person or a man or woman became a gioris or a gear in the middle of sfira? So they've been practicing, but they didn't become Jewish till day 30. What will you say there? So here I think we would differentiate and say, I'm sorry to the gear or gioris that they should only count, but without a bracha. Because even though as a non-Jew they were counting, but you cannot use a maisa sfira of a non-Jew to help you for becoming someone who's Jewish. You become a new person when you convert. So a person that's a katan or an onain, yes, they're Jewish. But a person that was not Jewish, mistama, they would not be able to count with a bracha. Because even the Rav's theory would not help us here. Because it's a not halachic mechanism of a maisa sfira if you weren't Jewish. You know, a katan's actions are very have great ramifications. You know, the Rashi writes in Baba Kama, if a katan or a katana break a window when they're a minor, they have to pay when they become older. If they turn a light on Shabbos, the Rama says tov lasos tshuva. The Rambam says a katan has to bring a korban in a certain case. When he did an aveir, when he's a katan, when he becomes a gadol, he has to do. You see, the action of a katan is considered to be an action. So in the realm of mitzvahs, we want to say the same thing. A katan's action would be an action. So here you have this tremendous chiddush, and this chiddush being is that the maisa sphere, the linkage, allows you to count vayta with a bracha. So with the second mahalach, what we have determined is that according to the Rav, it's a tremendous, beautiful perspective, I think, on Sfiras Omer. That we have the korban of the Omer, which you mentioned, is made of barley, shteilecha is made of wheat, and every day you want to, you know, motivate yourself and you want to become a better person and eradicate a shara tuma and repair what the Talmid Rebbe Akiva died. Didn't say that they're ravaza one another. It says they didn't show the proper kavod. Always thought to myself, Hashem put Yom Atzmut in the middle of Sfira to test us. Okay, if you don't say Hallel with a bracha, okay, I still respect you. You don't say Hallel, all I still respect. I say Hallel without a bracha. Whichever sheet you do, we have to respect everyone. Hashem, why do you put it during Sfira Soma? I always thought it was like a test of Klal Yisrael. Are you going to mechabit or chaverim? You know, instead of being mevazin, oh, you do this, I do that, you know. And we're not curious people. We have to realize that this is the time period that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have this proper achdus. And the fact that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash did play an impact upon, you know, there are 11 answers, we don't have time now, but the 11 different answers given why there's no Shechianu recited on Sfiras Omer. One of them I mentioned before was because it's Zecher to the Beis HaMikdash. We're not in a state of Simcha, and especially with the Avelis that goes on. So if we're not in a state of Simcha, then it's very possible it's inappropriate. Shechianu is a bracha that requires Simcha. So we have to be very careful in this time period to eradicate. That's why the minhag is to learn Avos, the 48 kinyanim of the Torah. You know, if you engage in learning and you don't have those kinyanim, it's like you're stealing. Those kinyanim are critical. If you take a look at those kinyanim in the 48 kinyanim, you know, listening, being a good friend, you know, feeling someone's hurt, these all have to do with Torah. If you engage in Torah and you're not a mensch, then whenever you're learning, you're stealing the Torah. So that's why Bedafkin, during this manosphere, we start Avos. To try to what? Become, you know, better people from spiritual animals to become spiritual human beings. The truth is, though, could be that there is a Shechianu. One of the answers is that the Shechianu we say at Shavuos, or the Shechianu that we say at Second Seder, goes on the midst of Sfiras Omer. Because that shows that, in essence, it really is a link. The Ramban is a very powerful comment that during this time period of Sfira, it's called a Chol HaMoed. Isn't that an amazing comment the Ramban writes? The Ramban writes that the whole period of Sfira is a Chol HaMoed between Pesach and Shavuos. Wow! That's amazing. This whole 7-week period is Chol HaMoed. That highlights this linkage that we need to have between Pesach and Shavuos. I want to just close with a few other halachas that we have regarding this. And it's interesting, they asked the Beis HaLevi, the Rav's great-grandfather. There was a maskil that came to him and said, you know, Rebbe, you're so machmer on us all the time. You have so many stringencies. So the Beis HaLevi said, you know what, sir? I'm going to give you 9 kulas. One of the 9 kulas was you can rely on the sheet of Rabbeinu Yerucham. Who's Rabbeinu Yerucham? Rabbeinu Yerucham is of the opinion, we mentioned in the beginning of the shir, that the mitzvah of counting is the araisa or the rabbanan. The Rabbeinu Yerucham has a pshara. He said the mitzvah of counting the days is biblical. The mitzvah of counting the weeks is only rabbinic, because the Torah links the korban omer with the weeks. The days are never linked with the korban. So he says to this sir, Mr. Maskil, I don't know if he said Mr. Maskil, but he said, I have a kula for you. If you miss and forget counting Sfira on day 7, day 14, day 21, since you're counting the weeks, you can say a bracha. I'm not sure if the Maskil could have cared less, but you see that there's a third opinion we should note, the Rabbeinu Yerucham, that distinguishes and says, the days are d'oraisa, the weeks are d'rabbanan. That's where Rabbeinu Yerucham has such a shita. It's interesting that we always want to make sure that, you know, we count properly and that we remember. So Poskim discussed three different scenarios, and with this we'll close. What happens if you write a letter to someone before you count that night and you dated it such and such day to the Omer? Do we say that Ksiva is like Dibor, and we view it as if you've counted already, and therefore count later without a bracha? In the event you already were Yotzei, you don't want to recount. So for many areas in Halacha, we say writing is like Dibor. For Birkas HaTorah, you get up in the morning, you're not supposed to write the return unless you say Birkas HaTorah. For men and women alike. For purposes of oaths, of shvu, if you write, it's binding. You're not supposed to write your parents' names. So for many areas in Halacha, Ksiva is Kedibor. So too here we're Machmer when it comes to Sfiris Omer. Number two, what about here or Kedibor? Let's say you thought about what night it is, but you never articulated it. That's not good. Here is Lav Kedibor. You have to actually say it. Number three, there's a principle called Shomea Ka'ona. What is Shomea Ka'ona? Listening is like answering. Let's say you heard someone count on your behalf, not the bracha. The bracha certainly could be motzi someone. But let's say someone counts for you. So many poskim say that that's good. Magen Rum says it's not good. We should always articulate ourselves, but there are some poskim that say Shomea would be Ka'ona. Also, it's interesting from the Dvar Avram, the Rav who gave Smicha to the Rav Soloveitchik, the Dvar Avram says, you know, we have Sveikid Yoma. We observe a second day of Yontif all the time. How do you know the day that we're counting is right? Why don't we count every night? Maybe it's one, maybe it's two. Next night, maybe it's three, maybe it's four. Why don't we count? Why aren't we worried about Sveikid Yom when it comes to Sfira? We are worried, but when it comes to Yontif, so the Dvar Avram writes: when you count, it cannot be. You cannot count mitam sofek. Counting has to be done definitively, and that makes sense based on what we said from the Rav, because Sfira is to create a momentum, a linkage, and therefore you cannot count in the manner of doubt. You have to be definitive, conclusive. It's one. It's two. It's three. And that is why we have a chumra. The Shulchan Aruch says that we should not start Shavuos early. Because Sheva Shabbos is Tmimos Tiyena. We want the complete 7 weeks. Can you imagine building the whole GW, you get to Fort Lee and it just doesn't get there. Or you get to the Heights and it just doesn't get there. So the Havdol of Dals, you need that complete bridge. From Pesach till Shavuos, we don't start Shavuos early, that's our minig. Because we want to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are men, we are women, we have now built ourselves up, we are no longer spiritual animals, we're ready to receive the Torah, the Korban Shtei Alechem, we prepared ourselves for 7 weeks, we worked on ourselves, Ben Am L'Chaveiro. So a lot of times, as the Rav would build up, you see in the lumdus of a mitzvah, can give you the hashkafa to a mitzvah. And it can make this time period very special. Many times I think about that Ramban. It's Chol HaMoed. Someone looks at me and thinks I'm nuts. It is Chol HaMoed according to the Ramban. Because between Pesach and Shavuos is this time period where you want to link up. So, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless you all with good health and your families. And may we all prepare for the Torah in a very holy way. And we'll be ready to receive the Torah on Shavuos if we follow the messages of the Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal in the underpinnings of the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.